Recording?
We're recording now.
Oh, great. We're on. Then I will call to order this Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. Today is August 27th, 2024. I am hearing examiner Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works on contract with Thurston County and 11 other governments providing hearing examiner services. Pursuant to my appointment as the county's examiner, I have jurisdiction to hear and to decide the item on this morning's agenda. We are considering file number 2023-105720. This project is known as the Butterton Innocent Purchaser Request. I have some information to share with the parties about how to participate as we go forward. So please follow along. If anyone needs to get my attention, you can call me Ms. Rice or Examiner Rice. As we go forward, please remember the hearing is being recorded. That recording is an important part of the record. It's actually the reason your video isn't paramount is because it's the audio recording that's a required part of the legal record of this legal proceeding. And so, therefore, the audio is what's most important. I usually ask people to keep themselves muted when they're not testifying. That would keep us from having inadvertent noise from anybody's background. Mr. Butterton, if you can mute yourself, it's the little audio icon. You should just click the microphone. It will mute you. And if you click it again, it will unmute you. Thank you for doing that. And we'll remind you, of course, if necessary, to unmute when we are speaking with you. Please keep in mind, despite the fact that this is a virtual format, it is a legal proceeding. And if we have any disruption, I will be asking Miss Katie to help me get the disruption controlled so that we can proceed. As we go forward, I will be asking folks to do their best to try to speak one at a time. Again, that's so that all testimony can be heard and understood on the recording. When you first speak, the first time you speak, if you're going to give testimony, I'm going to ask you to state and spell your name and then give me the correct title of your relationship to the proceeding. So, for example, Mr. Butterton, yours says point of contact. That would be what I would ask you to state for the record. And then I will ask you to take an oath to tell the truth. Just a couple of land use law items that I need to try to communicate to everybody. Please understand this hearing is required to comply with the Washington State Appearance of Fairness Doctrine. This law requires the decision maker to be free from bias or prejudice. So I will make the following disclosures addressing that law. Again, I'm not a county employee. I work on contract for Thurston and about 11 other governments. I don't own property anywhere near the properties under consideration in this proposal, and I have not had conversations with anybody, not with county staff, not with Butterton representatives, and not with members of the public regarding the merits of this request for innocent purchaser status. And because those things are true, I believe I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision in this request for innocent purchaser status. Please understand, according to the state law, anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality must raise that challenge at their first opportunity, which would be your testimony in today's hearing. Another land use tenet that applies, permits, including innocent purchaser status requests, are not decided based on how popular they are. By that, I mean the number of people who are in favor of or are opposed to approval of a request. That number of people is not itself evidence. Instead, I will be reviewing all testimony and documentary evidence to determine whether, on balance, it does or does not demonstrate compliance with the criteria for approval. If the evidence does demonstrate compliance with the innocent purchaser criteria, then an examiner has no authority to deny the permit. If the evidence fails to demonstrate compliance with those criteria for approval, an examiner has no authority to approve it. So I will be guided. The decision will be determined based on the evidence only, and the number of people for or against is not evidence. And then one other item is that in a land use application of any nature, it is the applicant who bears the burden of proof. And that means it's the applicant whose job it is to provide evidence that successfully demonstrates compliance with a criteria for approval. However, despite that burden being on the applicant, in Thurston County, we hear from staff first. So, order of presentation will be first, county staff will make its presentation. I have questions queued up for the county staff. After that, we will hear the applicant's presentation. And during your presentation, Mr. Butterton, you'll have the chance to add to or to challenge anything county staff has said. And that is your opportunity to make sure all of the information in favor of your request is before me and is included in the record. After that, we will go for public comment. I will ask Ms. Katie to help me identify and have the people who are members of the audience who wish to testify be able to do so. While the members of the public testify, if we get public comment, I will ask both staff and applicant to join me in making notes of any questions or concerns that are raised. And after all members of the public who want to testify have done so, then we will have responses. And the first we'll hear from county staff in response, and then last we'll hear from the applicants in response. And that's because as the party with the burden of proof, the applicants get the last say in these proceedings. At that point, we will be done with testimony and I will close the record and we will discuss the post-hearing schedule. There will be a post-hearing schedule, and this is why. I conduct exclusively virtual or hybrid virtual hearings in all of the jurisdictions where I work and in all of those places because members of the public are invited to participate virtually and because technology problems can keep them from being able to join a meeting. For example, their internet is out, you know, their dog ate their computer, whatever. Because those kinds of technology problems can prevent participation, it is my practice to hold the record open after the end of the hearing for 2 business days to allow post-hearing written public comment from people who had technology reasons they could not participate. If we do receive post-hearing comment from people who had technology problems, both staff and the applicant will be requested to respond to those post-hearing comments, and they will also have 2 business days to respond. So that's going to create a schedule. At the end of the hearing, I will give you those dates. You'll know when comment is due, when response is due, and when the decision is due. And when we log off from this meeting, I will email that schedule in writing to Ms. Katie and she can forward it to the participants and also cause it to be posted online. That's our basic order of operations. The last thing before we hear testimony is I will acknowledge the exhibits I was provided before today's hearing. The first exhibit is the County Planning Department staff report to the hearing examiner, and it will be Exhibit 1 in the record. On the last pages of the staff report, the last 2 pages, there are attachments identified. They are identified as attachments A through V, and I'm not going to read the whole list, but just briefly, they include notice of hearing and notice of application, the applications, 2 applications, and then various documents related to the property, including a long history of deeds and assessor information related to the subject property. And then there are also comment letters from a couple of members of the public and from the Nisqually Indian tribe. So I did receive and review all of those documents. Exhibit 1 and its attachments A through V are admitted. At this point, I'm ready to hear from county staff. If I could please ask the county staff member who will be testifying in this matter, unmute, state and spell your name, give us your correct job title, and allow me to swear you in.
My name is Robert Smith, R-O-B-E-R-T-S-M-I-T-H. I'm a senior planner with Thurston County.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Okay. The subject application is a request for innocent purchaser status for a parcel created in violation of applicable county planning and subdivision regulations. The subject parcel and several adjacent and nearby parcels appear to have been created by recording of deeds and or real estate contracts at a time when this creation mechanism was not recognized by the county planning and subdivision ordinance. At the time, legal creation of these parcels required recording of a county-approved subdivision. The applicant submitted various information as part of their submittal. including an affidavit stating that they were not aware that the parcel had not been created legally. The applicant states that he did his due diligence prior to the purchase, but it does not specify what actions he undertook. And with that, that's basically a brief summary. I did include two recommended conditions of approval if the hearing examiner approves the request.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I did just have a couple of questions queued up based on my review of the staff report. You just testified and explained that the reason this history of property transfers was not compliant with the platting ordinance is because the ordinance did not recognize these types of real estate transactions as creating legal lots. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Matter involves deeds that go way back into the 1970s. I looked and it seems that the county's platting ordinance was first adopted in 1974. And so that means it was this a county zoning ordinance or a platting ordinance was in effect by the time of the first deed that affects this property, which was 1975. Do you happen to know, do we have that zoning ordinance? Do we know what the minimum lot size was in 1975?
Actually, it was not a zoning ordinance. That was the county's first platting.
Platting.
We have it someplace here on record. I don't have it at hand.
Okay. So that, of course, that's right. It would not be the platting ordinance that would establish the minimum lot size. It would be the zoning ordinance, right? Thank you for that clarification. So off the top of your head, you're not aware of the zoning at the time and or what the minimum lot size was at the time of that first 1975 transaction.
Yeah, I don't know specifically for this area. The county adopted zoning ordinances around the same time for different parts of the county. I'd have to do some research to see what was in place in this area at that time.
I just was curious, and I don't think I'm going to ask you to do that research outside of the record. I was just curious if that information was available. Another question, different topic. On page 10 of your staff report, you identified and compared the subject parcel to comparable properties, and you gave several tax parcel numbers that you were looking at as comparables. Could you please explain how you selected those properties as comparable?
I just reviewing the geodata mapping for the area and expanded out a little bit from the subject parcel to where I found parcels of similar size in the general area. And so those are the closest parcels of that size to the subject parcel that I found.
Thank you. And then you provided values for those parcels. Could you explain how you got those values?
The assessor records, assessor field book pages for those parcels.
Thank you very much. In the course of your research on this matter, did you come across any information potentially at the assessor's office that explains when or why the two portions of this property, parcels ending in 700 and 701, why they have separate tax parcel numbers?
Well, I didn't, but I didn't specifically ask that question to the assessor's office, but based upon my experience, the assessor would have assigned a separate tax parcel number when they were given a copy of the recording of a deed or real estate contract. So a change in title would have precipitated a assigning of a new tax parcel number.
Thanks for that. And then I just want to make sure I understand and have this correct. It's the department reviewed the proposal and looked at the fact that the two parcels ending in 700 and 701 appear to have been in common ownership after 1988. And that's a period of 28 years. And is that's what you determined?
Yes.
And what is the ramification of the fact that they were in common ownership all that time?
Well, based upon my review of the various parcels in the area that's specified in the staff report, we had Throughout time, the number of deeds or real estate contracts were recorded primarily in 75 and 1976. So we had a variety of what appeared to be illegal lots created, including the two parcels that you stated. One way to fix a violation, a planning violation, is to combine the legal parcels back into a common ownership. And so that's what occurred, that appears as was what occurred in 1988 when Mr. Butterton purchased a 1 acre parcel. But then when he subsequently sold the larger parcel, that extended the planning violation again.
So does your department feel that by operation of law or any other mechanism, contrary to the intent of the property owner, those two parcels became legally merged or should be viewed as having become legally merged?
Legally, we would have considered them merged together at recording of the new deed. And so again, when one parcel was sold, that would have then created a new planning violation.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions. Mr. Smith, did my questions cause you to want to offer any other testimony?
No, not at this time.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry, Exhibit Rice, can I add at the beginning, we do have an exhibit two to add to record the affidavit of hearing notice installation.
I appreciate that. I did notice that after Mr. Smith started speaking, and I forgot to reference that. So thank you for reminding me. We do have Exhibit 2, and Exhibit 2 was an affidavit of hearing notice posting, and I do have that. It is also admitted. Thanks, Miss Katie. All right, Mr. David Butterton, if you would hit that microphone button and unmute yourself. Thank you,
okay.
Sir. Great, we can hear you now. Would you please state and spell your name for the record?
David Butterton, B-U-T-T-E-R-T-O-N.
And your relationship to this proceeding, sir?
Gerald is my brother.
Okay. And your user tile on Zoom says point of contact. Is that how I should identify?
Yeah. Yes, I'm the point of contact because I was going into the county with this innocent purchaser when he was still alive. Okay. And helping him. And so
great.
That's what I'm doing.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to please take an oath to tell the truth. So in the room where you are, would you please raise your right hand at this time?
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm that your testimony will be true? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Thank you so much. Mr. Butterton, what testimony would you like to offer?
The only thing I'm offering is Jerry purchased that property back in 88, I believe, and it has its own parcel number, and he was offered from the lady that owned it to buy that property. He wasn't real wild about it, but she made him an offer he couldn't refuse, so he bought it. And then when he sold his piece, he kept that just in case he ever had to have a piece of property to live on. So he kept that piece. He went out there and offered to sell it to the people that had bought his original piece of property, and they couldn't afford it, didn't want to spend that much money for the acreage. So he just kept it. And I've been out there with him. You don't have to access that property from any of the adjoining properties because it has access right on Spurgeon Creek Road. So I've been out there with him and walked the property multiple times with him. And then he was worried about dying, basically, and he wanted to get his affairs in order and sell the property. So it would be taken care of. That's when we found out about the not legal lot, however that is worded. And so then we filed the innocent purchaser, and I went to the county numerous times with him to get this done. And then, of course, then he died. So that's where we got left.
Okay. Thank you for that testimony. And
there are several properties in that area that are small in size, like a 3 acre and a 4 acre properties. There was a home just built right next to that property within, gosh, the last year. Big, beautiful home. And so that's kind of where we're at. Okay. There's no wetlands or no problems on that property. It's just a treed acre.
Great.
And we realize just don't grant permission to build a home, because that's a different permit process. So we're just trying to get this innocent purchaser done.
Okay. Is it the intent of the estate to sell it as Mr. Butterton intended to before he passed?
Yes. He was trying to sell it. In fact, he had a buyer, and that's when we found out about this issue. So we had to get this issue resolved. Obviously, were the heirs to his estate, and he wanted to sell it. So we're trying to grant his wishes.
Okay. I don't think I have other questions, Keita, for you, Mr. Butterton. So,
okay.
This is what we'll do. We do have other people in the meeting.
Okay.
And I'm going to see if anybody else wants to provide testimony. I'm going to ask you to mute yourself. And then while they're testifying, please keep track of their questions or concerns, and you'll have a chance to respond to them before we adjourn. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to hit the mute right now, I think.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Great. Ms. Katie, can you help me find out if any of the members of the public in the meeting would like to testify?
Okay, yeah. And we do have a couple members of the public and one staff observing. If you'd like to testify, please hit the raise hand option on my screen. It's the bottom. Okay, so we have Helen. You're going to get a prompt on your screen asking you to rejoin the webinar as a panelist. Go ahead and click that.
And then you can share your video if you're able to. Hello. And then we need you to unmute also. There's a microphone that you, if you tap the microphone, it will unmute you. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. And it seems like you have, maybe you're watching the meeting on a computer in the same room.
Yeah. Yes.
Could you mute that computer? That'll stop the feedback.
There we go. Okay.
Great. Can we please have you introduce yourself? Please state and spell your name for the record. Are you trying to change the order?
There we go.
Sorry.
You got it straight now.
We're perfect. Please state and spell your name for the record.
Helen Snyder. S-N-I-D-E-R.
Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to take an oath to tell the truth, please. Could you raise your hand to take the oath? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Thank you so much, Ms. Snyder. What testimony would you like to give today?
So that
he's been paying for the property taxes as usual. It's a usable lot for 36 years. And he paid over $30,000 in taxes to date. And the county has assessed property as a usable property for 36 years at $152,000, which is current. And the family has faithfully paid these taxes for 36 years, believing this to be usable land. That's it.
Okay. I don't think I have any questions. Is there anything else you want to offer for the record?
No, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and remute. Thank you so much. Ms. Katie, is the person who's named Andrew, is it Bohan?
Yes, he's county staff.
Okay, great. And then the other Helen Snyder is the computer that they were watching the meeting on.
Yes.
We don't have anyone else in the meeting, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's go then for final comments. Anything else for the record, Mr. Smith?
No.
Thank you. Before we let you go, let me ask you, Mr. Smith. Following on both Mr. Butterton and Ms. Snyder's testimony, and for the record, I know from the materials that I reviewed that Ms. Snyder is also involved in the estate. She's the appointed representative for the estate by the court. So she was speaking on behalf of the estate as well. Based on their testimony that the family has believed and has been paying property on the parcel for all these years, believing it to be usable, does that affect your department's review of the situation?
No, it does not affect ours. We go based upon the county's planning subdivision ordinance, which, but as you know, it specifies certain methods for legally creating a lot, as opposed to a tax parcel, with my understanding the assessor assigns because of ownership of the land, but that doesn't necessarily denote a legal separate parcel.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
No.
Thank you for that. Mr. David Butterton, if you'd like to unmute, well, we'd like to hear any final comments from you, sir. Remember, there you go.
Yeah, I don't really have a lot to say. I mean, it's pretty much been said.
Okay.
About the property, you know. I don't know. I couldn't understand the gentleman real clear on when he said that because it was had a parcel number and paid taxes on that. I'm not sure what he said there because it was kind of garbled on my computer. But what my sister said on him paying taxes for 30 odd some years. And I don't know, I don't know where I got it right now, but, let's see. Let's see. Well, anyway. I don't know. I think that's all I got from what I read here. I mean, it sounds like it should be granted the innocent purchaser by the legal stuff that I read on the county paperwork. So we're just hoping that happens and go from there. I don't know what else to say.
And that's fine, sir. It was just an opportunity in case you had anything else to add. Let me ask while we're still in the meeting, Mr. Smith, if you could, because he didn't hear or understand what you said. I had asked you to respond to their testimony that they paid taxes believing it was developable for all those years. And then you did respond. Can you clarify what your response was?
Yes, what I said is that my understanding about the assessor's role is when they get notice of a sale of property, copy of a recorded deed or such, then they assign a separate tax parcel to it because they then assess taxes to that owner of that property based upon that deed. However, the assessor isn't given, or they don't enforce the county's planning and subdivision ordinance. So when they assign a tax parcel, it's simply to note, you know, denote the ownership change of that property, but it doesn't mean it's a separate legal lot per the requirements of the planning and subdivision ordinance.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mr. Smith. Mr. Butter, oh yes, Mark?
I was going to say, it has created confusion throughout the years for other people as well.
Yeah, this isn't the first family to run into this issue.
No.
That's why we have innocent purchaser regulations in place.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Butterton, were you able to hear and follow that?
Yes, I believe I followed that.
Great.
So.
Any other comments, Mr. Butterton?
No, think that's all I got. We just believe that this innocent purchaser, that this is what this is for. So we hope that this is granted, and
okay.
I think that's all I got.
Thank you very much, sir, for your testimony. Sorry you weren't able to share your video, but we were able to hear you just fine. So
okay, that's great.
Yeah, the record is good. Let me go ahead, and I'm going to close the record now, and I'm going to tell you that post-hearing schedule that I had advised you of before.
Okay, and how long does it take to get a ruling on this? Is that
that's
a dumb question?
That's what I'm about to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So just because virtual hearings create the possibility for people to have technology reasons they can't testify, I am going to hold the record open 2 days through August the 29th. During that 2 day period, if the county receives any post hearing public comments from people who had technology problems that prevented them from being in this meeting, then those comments will become part of the record. So again, the record is held open through August 29th for comments from people who had technology problems. If we get none, if nobody comments, then the 10 business day decision deadline becomes September the 13th. And it's bumped out 1 day because of Labor Day. If we do receive post-hearing public comments by August the 29th, I'm going to ask that both staff and applicant respond in writing for the record, and you will also have 2 business days, which means your comments are due on September the 3rd, and the 10 business day decision deadline becomes September 17th. So as I said at the top, Mr. Butterton, I'm going to send this schedule in writing to Miss Katie, and she will forward it to you. So
okay.
You're going to have it. You'll have it in writing from me. It's also going to be, yes. And it's also going to be posted online so that members of the public who are interested will be able to see that they have an opportunity in case they had technology problems.
Okay.
So you'll get that schedule in writing from me, and then you will receive the decision on the application either by the 13th or the 17th, depending on whether we have post-hearing comment.
Sounds great.
That concludes our business. Thanks very much, everybody, for your time. Have a good day. We are adjourned.
Thank you.